Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. I'm very excited to be talking today all about best practices for your Pinterest business account. But I do want to take this chance to tell you about a group coaching opportunity I will be offering. I'm getting ready to launch an 8-week in-depth live Pinterest training starting in March, and I really want you to be there. If you have any interest in Pinterest and visual marketing, you need to check this out. Head on over to manlypinteresttips.com/training. That's manlypinteresttips.com/training. I'm very excited to have Kim Vidge back with me on today's show. Kim Vidge is a Pinterest consultant, blogger, author, and speaker. She co-hosts a weekly Twitter chat and Facebook community called PinChat. As a Pinfluencer, she has created award-winning boards on Pinterest with 1.6 million followers by focusing pins on education and parenting. A teacher at heart, she enjoys sharing ways to make everyday moments into teachable opportunities on her popular parenting site, The Educator's Spin on It, and her upcoming book, 100 Fun and Easy Learning Games for Kids. Now, this interview that I did with Kim was a live show where the audience is able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. It's really hard to find another Pinterest expert who is as knowledgeable as Kim, and I always learn something new talking with her, and I know you will too. So let's jump right into my conversation with Kim Vidge. Kim, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for asking me, Jeff, to be back on the show again. And anytime anyone asks to talk about Pinterest, you know I'm there.
That's right. So as I'm talking, if you guys have any questions, what you need to do is just type in /Q. That'll kind of give me a heads up that you have a question, and we will try to answer them today during the show. Now, Kim, we mentioned you've been on the show before, but let's kind of have some new viewers. And I know there's always new people who are coming onto Pinterest. They're hearing it's a platform to be on. So kind of tell them your story, how you got involved in this thing called Pinterest.
Sure. How I got involved in Pinterest. I joined when it was private a long time ago when we were starting our blog and kind of thought perhaps it should be important to start driving traffic. And of course, my analytics were already telling me traffic's coming from Pinterest. So I continued on. And when Pinterest went from private to public, we're pretty sure they started recommending our boards to new users, which is why our number got so high so quickly. Feel really lucky that we're at 1.6 million. It's pretty awesome that we can help our blogs, but then also I really try hard to share everyone else's content and really promote parenting and educational resources. So that's kind of the goal of our boards is to focus on that. It's that I'm online searching for stuff to do with your kids, so you don't have to be online. I'd rather you home and playing with them and helping them learn and become, you know, successful adults. So all of that, you know, I've kind of learned a little bit here and there about Pinterest, and Kelly was sweet and asked me this past summer to start co-hosting PinChat with her. So we do the Twitter chat now every Wednesday night and have the Facebook group. And that's been a lot of fun, kind of stepping away from the parenting and kids stuff on the side. I'm still doing that and was writing a book in the process. But anything that has to do with Pinterest, I think is an amazing platform and can do so much for so many people. And so I've been helping, you know, brands behind the scenes and new bloggers and small companies really trying to develop their boards.
Very cool. So how long, you mentioned you started kind of when your blog started. How long has your blog been going on?
2011, so 4 years.
Wow. Very cool.
Just a few years.
Just a few, yeah. It could have like Pinterest years, which actually is, you know, longer or whatever.
It does feel like a long time ago. Yeah,
it does. So let's tell somebody who's, let's just kind of dipping their toes into Pinterest. Why is Pinterest so important? You know, especially now because you've got all these people talking about Snapchat and Periscope. And I know business people who are starting and seeing these social media platforms, like, which one should I go on? Why should I even spend time on Pinterest?
Right. I think it's who is your target. If your target's me, that's ideal. If you're looking for parents, families, we're there. We're searching for answers. We're searching for inspiration. We're searching for things to get for our families. We're searching for where to travel the next time. But I look at my son. He's now, 23? He's got his own boards and they're totally different focus of mine. They're, you know, techie, they're what right. to wear, how to start up your first house. You know, and he and I share secret boards that, you know, what to cook when mom's not around anymore. So there's so many different ways that you can use it. If you're not there, you're missing out on all those people searching for the answers to this, you know, situations that are going on. And I think a lot of people are using it as their search engine right now. I really do. Yeah, like, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, Jeff, too.
Yeah, I know food bloggers do. And, you know, I do all the cooking in the house because my wife's a teacher. And you know how it is the last thing you want to do when you get home from school is to have to cook something. So great. I have the freedom and flexibility that I usually take care of that. But so I used to go to like allrecipes.com and those places. But now I was looking actually for a recipe this week that I had cooked a long time ago. And it wasn't on my Pinterest board. It was on my all recipes thing. And I haven't used that for ages because I do all my searching for recipes and stuff. And the reason I got into Pinterest too is because I saw so much content there and it was like guys weren't talking about it. And that's why the whole manly Pinterest thing came.
I'm glad you started it because there's no reason not to be there.
No, there's tons of guys. So, I mean, Jeep, I got a Jeep this year and there's tons of like Jeep boards and people sharing how they modify stuff. So there's tons of people on there. We have a question from SD3 Design, and they say, who uses Pinterest? Is there a psychographic on who they are? Are they buyers or are they seekers? And correct me if I'm wrong, Kim, but they're both.
They're both. I think I haven't seen like a huge report. I would love to see that report. And maybe some of our partner companies with Pinterest will come up with some for us to get the understanding. But it really is both. I think originally it was seekers more. And then once all of a sudden the products that they didn't know they needed were there. And now that they started offering the buyable pins, you do see more and more shoppers there.
Yeah, one-click shopping. And so I think, I would agree that there is. I think I'm right, but every year it seems like Pinterest drives so much traffic during Black Friday, and they always release those reports later that it goes up every year. And so, Shai says that, yes, Pinterest is becoming the new Google. There's stuff there's curated, not just random results, which is a very good point, Shai. So,
to call it the hand-picked human search engine. Human has physically placed it there on purpose, kind of optimized with those search terms. So it's kind of nice, right? Hopefully you are finding exactly what you're looking for on there.
Yes. Very, very cool. So, a new business who wants to be on Pinterest, you know, one of the things that I tell them that it's a long-term driver of traffic. And that was one of the things that I first did. And you mentioned that in your blog thing. So let's say I'm getting on Pinterest for the first time. What kind of options are there when I first create an account? We're going to dive into like Pinterest 101 real quickly. Right. Is there anything that I may screw up that I'll never be able to change later if I pick the wrong option?
I don't actually think there are. I think everything's editable once you've done it. I mean, I think ideally if you can keep your brand name the same across all social platforms, that's helpful, but I do know you can change that. So, you know, if you decide to switch from personal to business, you know, you can change that and move on through that and maybe edit down those pins.
Right.
You know, boards can always be changed. Descriptions can be changed. Your bio can be changed. So I think everything is really editable there in terms of a brand. I think you start, though, if you can start with those keyword focused terms you're also using on your website on Pinterest, that's just going to start you out the gate that much further than your competitors.
Very cool. So explain to people who don't know what the difference between like a regular Pinterest account is and a business Pinterest account.
For the personal Pinterest account, you just are pinning, off you go in your own merry little world. You have the option of public boards and private boards. I think that's a nice thing. You know, if you're using it personally, you can keep a bazillion boards all private. No one needs to know.
Oh, I just lost Kim. Am I still live? Can somebody type in the comments? Because I'm still live. But Kim, if you're still, thank you.
You're searching
if you're still there, you're froze. Yeah, jump back in, Kim. I'll let you in. And she was giving all this knowledge, and now we don't have it. So fun stuff. It's always something with technology. So we were talking about, oh, here she comes. Let me pop her in again. Let's see if she.
It is always something with my technology.
There it is. You're back. Okay. You were perfect, and you just went away.
I just went away to my own thoughts, I guess. My secret boards.
Yeah.
Different brands would have the option of applying for a business account, agreeing to the terms of service for business, which basically means if you're monetizing through your website, you should probably have that set up, and it gives you the option of. Analytics, it could be the option of promoted pins. So I think that's just as a brand, like I really, really strongly urge you to use those tools. They're there for you to be successful on their platform.
Very, very cool. Okay. Hey, Kim, do you have anything running like Skype or anything in the background?
I have nothing running in the background.
Yeah. You just drop down your lower quality now. You're fine. I can hear you. And now you're not so robot-y. So we'll continue with it.
I don't think I do, but I'm looking as we're talking. So okay, I'm sorry.
Cool. I shut
down and restarted before we started. But
no, I think we'll keep going.
Tech is not my strength.
It's always, we got to remember Blab is beta, so it may not be you at all. So, so you were talking about personal versus business accounts, and so what do you not get with a personal account that you do with a business account?
With a personal account, you won't get analytics to see how your pins are performing, and you won't have the option for promoted pins.
Okay, and so, one thing I want to make clear too is I was so paranoid because I had a personal account for a long time, and my account really was growing, and then I realized when they made the switch to the new analytics and then I couldn't get it, I was like, oh no, and I was so paranoid to switch over to a business account. But seriously, if you're doing that, if you're making any money or having a blog or business or whatever thing, you have to have a business account, or you're actually violating Pinterest terms of service. But it is so seamless. I mean, it's pretty much you click one button and you switch it over. So don't be scared.
And like key element, I think we were hesitant because we weren't sure. And as of now, it's literally free. So no reason not to.
Yeah. And so don't be paranoid, especially if you have followers and you think you'll screw something up. It's really almost one click and there it goes. So you mentioned on your recent article on iBlog magazine that there are four areas to really pay close attention to when setting up a Pinterest account to have the kind of the best chance of success. So let's run through those really quickly. Account bio.
Right.
Why is that so important? What are some best practices for writing a good account bio?
Account bio is your personal side of your brand or your business on Pinterest. So you do want to keep it friendly, but it's also your key way to get searched is, you know, what is that highlight that you're focusing on with the types of pins you're going to pin. If you're a food blogger, you're going to want the word recipes in there. If you happen to focus on social media marketing, you're going to want to have that term in there.
Right.
Whatever you want to show up for is in your bio. Because I have a business account under a business name, I put my personal name there because I want to show up. If people can't remember the name of my blog, well, they might remember Kim Vidge. Probably not, but they might remember it. So, you know, I do include that in there. And, you know, the little bit about you, that is your elevator pitch moment. So whatever you're probably having in your about me on your website, hopefully you can fit it into the character count in there. I think it's like 160 characters. It's kind of short. And I do leave a link to my website there, although it is underneath and below. I just feel like it's a little call to action because ideally I want them on my site, not really on my boards. So
very, very cool. Yes. I thought that was a good point, term is your elevator pitch in there. Make sure that's your elevator pitch. What are your thoughts about, and this is, I know, controversial a little bit, about putting, like if I was a food blogger, I would say, Jeff C., food expert. And it would, these long names you see on Pinterest, and when somebody ever pins it, you see their, you know, right. That huge. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know my thoughts on that.
you do too.
You know, like it's your moment of fame to shout out who you are. So I don't blame you for doing that. You know, it's not something I've used with the businesses I help out, but you know, we're all here trying to get out there into the world and be seen. So if you want to test it and see how it works and maybe change it back and forth and see what happens, it's an idea.
Yeah. It's just a personal thing for me. It's just personal. I don't like it. I don't put like Gypsy, super beard, awesome guy.
Yeah. You know, like that's not my style, but you know, it's not my style.
Yeah. So I test it, like you said, and see what happens. And see what goes on. That leads to another question. So, should I change up my account bio? I know it probably if I change jobs or if I become a speaker or something that should be added. But is there a time that I need to go back in there like and refresh it every once in a while? What are some best practices for that?
I mean, I'll jump into our account and change it if like we just have that new book coming out. So I changed to author because I want that to be now classified as something I show up for. I think if something changes within your focus, that would be the time to jump in. I would say if you're noticing a trend on your site and even on your boards, if you're showing up more and more for a specific term, you might want to consider adding it there just to kind of validate that that's, yep, I'm definitely talking about, you know, high-end linens or, you know, whatever that you're talking about. You know, if you kind of give the people what they want is the theory behind that.
Right. Well, some people in the comments when we were talking about that expert guru maven is what Elisa says. But Martin has a point, and it is ranked by Pinterest in search, and that's why I think a lot of people do that. But J. Speedy Morris 22 says, you know, how do you qualify as an expert, not a fan? And I kind of feel that way sometimes too. I don't mind if somebody else calls me.
I was going to say, if you have to call yourself an expert, you probably aren't, because I don't think anyone is. You're always learning to be a better you.
Yeah. So that, I kind of agree on that too. And so, yeah, I'm always learning, always trying to be better. And so calling yourself an expert is a little rough to me, but to each his own, I guess. So, okay. We got the account bio, refreshing it up every once in a while. So board descriptions, what are some best practices here? Do you know if there's like a limit on text? Can I, you know,
I looked right before we started. It's 500 characters is the limit on text. So that's a lot of scripts you can fit into there. So I think really you're going to write what you want that board to be about using kind of, I call it magazine language, where you're using that verbiage that gets that, oh, well, that's something I'm interested in. I do put a link to my site in there, kind of a call to action, because I want them to come to my website because I'm known for kids' activities, not necessarily my Pinterest board. Because you'll find, and I know on my account, even though I have a few followers, I would rather those on my website. So I'm always trying to drive them over there. But in terms of verbiage to use, definitely, again, you're thinking of what are those SEO factors that I can rank in there and speak into sentences, but keep it conversation style. I don't like the ones where it's like, you look like you're reading back in a website. That's not what it's meant for. Like it's really character for you to build that in there.
Yeah. When you're dumping keywords, that's not a cool thing to do. So, yeah. And also you mentioned in your article to make sure that you, and I have actually been at fault for doing this, is make sure you put in a board category, because Pinterest lets you choose your category for that Pinterest board. Is there any best practices for that? And is there a, can I go back and switch them later?
Mm-hmm. I think the board categories, one of the reasons we all kind of miss it is on mobile. If you've ever started a board, it's not an option to add it in, which I hope they add that. So picking one is definitely important. I think also maybe not always having it all one category for your whole account. because you never know where you're going to get that traffic from. So like for us, we focus between, you know, education and kids and parenting. And I throw in a little bit of food because all kids have to eat. So kind of playing around a little bit with it too. And then considering, could you have two boards kind of similar, but under different categories, because it might show better in search under one than another, because you're answering the solution like kind of faster. So those would be my recommendations, and you can always change it if it's not showing up. One thing I always recommend doing is going at the top of Pinterest and using that search bar. Try to find you by words, like how would a new user try to find you? If it takes a lot of click-throughs, you somehow have missed the mark on how you wanted Pinterest to categorize you, and kind of learn the verbiage of all those various tabs at the top. I think new users use it a lot differently than you and I did way back when we started.
Right. And that's one of the things that I think we all have to do is try not to think like a marketer, but think like our customer and what they're searching for. And those are very, very good tips. And you know what? I don't think I put my website address in my board description, so I'm going to have to go back and fix that. That's a good little call to action there that I didn't even think about. So here's another question that's kind of controversial, you know, board arrangements, you know. And, you know, a lot of people got upset, and I kind of went to Pinterest blog and read this, and wow, people were mad. can you talk a little bit about why people got upset about those Pinterest changes and what they did?
Sure. Let me answer all the controversy.
Yeah, you get the hard one. Yeah.
So it was that on desktop and mobile, your boards could be arranged how you chose them to be. Working with brands, always recommended keeping your most popular content, most seasonal content at the top, which I still recommend doing on your desktop versions. But the big change is on mobile, it now highlights your most recent board that you've pinned to. So your most relevant pins are now quickly thrown to users. So you really don't have control over what board is at the top of your account. So I guess that's where all the lack of control raised a little bit of concern, but it makes sense in a way. Like if it's that important and you took the time to pin it, it's probably what you want your reader to be seeing. So you really kind of have to think through, you know, am I pinning the most relevant thing that will help me monetize the most and what I'm doing on my website?
Right. So to be clear, you can still drag and drop, because that's how you kind of
arrange. Drag and drop on desktop.
And it's fine, but it just doesn't show up on mobile.
Right.
Very cool. So, you know, I never did this because my thing was Pinterest was always a digital scrapbook for me. So I never took the time to make those custom board covers because people, they would make them and they look gorgeous. I think Martin actually made custom board covers for his. So is it even worth doing anymore? Because, you know, most traffic comes from mobile users. Is custom board covers even something you need to worry about anymore?
Yes and no. Good answer, right? you know, I've never used custom board covers, but I've always purposefully chosen my board cover. And meaning by that, I always choose something that I really like from my content. I tried hard not to highlight somebody else on my board covers.
Right.
But I've seen some really gorgeous accounts out there that I want to click through and find this. And sometimes I think food bloggers do it pretty well at times if they break it into different, you know, food groups that are being used at times. For me, it's not something that's my cup of tea. It doesn't make me click through more, but you know, I'm one of 100 million users. So, you know, there's a statistical chance that someone else will like that part of you. And maybe if you keep it where you do that kind of testing, you never know. I mean, if you're doing a graphic text, it's not that hard to sit and type a bunch of, you know, text and pop it in and out every once in a while and see which gets better. I just don't think it has a big impact for the amount of effort it takes to do that.
Gotcha. So when you said that raised something I just thought of. Okay. Because since now that on mobile, your most recent boards are coming up to the top of the most recently pinned boards, what does that do to your group board strategy? Because one of the things that a lot of times, especially for new users, we used to recommend, you know, join a lot of group boards, pin to a lot of group boards, your stuff gets seen.
Right.
Well, will those group boards come to the top instead of something else?
I don't know.
I mean, that's, I just thought of that.
I think it should, because it should be your, yeah, because even if you're pinning to a secret board, for you it shows, like no one else sees that, but for you it shows. So I would assume, yes, that your group board would show if you recently pinned to one. I'm like, I can pull up my phone and look at it now.
Well, because one of the strategies.
Maybe Alyssa can look. I know she's watching. She can test it for us.
Yeah, because one of the things I remember is that when you were laying out your boards, one of the strategies was to put your group boards at the bottom and put your own content up front. And so now when that's kind of thrown out.
Right. In essence, you could highlight all 10 of your group boards and none of yours. So, you know, that would be a strategy to consider. Make sure you are not continually doing that as you schedule out your pins,
right,
but that you do keep highlighting. And I try to keep my top 10 really popular boards are ones I'm continually putting content onto. So statistically, they should be up there floating at the top.
Right.
Still in mobile version too.
Yeah.
But I think honestly, at the end of the day, people are finding you from a pure base search on a pin. I don't really think they're going to that unless you're, you know, Target and I'm going to, you know, look at your pin. Like I'm not going straight to your account and then looking at you. I'm typing in how to spring clean, you know, right, and then I'm finding whatever Pinterest says is the most popular. Right. Because, you know, that's the nice part. It's just like a search engine on Google or Yahoo or Bing. It's telling you what's most popular right now.
Gotcha. So how many boards do you think it's good to have to first start out?
For starting, I'd recommend like 20 would be if you can figure out kind of those 20 keywords that you focus on your website. Right. But if you feel like that's too much, I'd say, you know, 10 to 15, at least fill up a couple of rows on the account. So it looks like you've vested your attention and interest into really bringing on the Pinterest lifestyle. It's, you know, you kind of have to say that we're in it to play and have fun and give you the best resources. So we're worth the follow.
Gotcha. All right, let's dive into pin descriptions, because I think that's an area that a lot of people get confused about, because you have the board descriptions and you also have pin descriptions. So what are some of the best practices on writing compelling pin descriptions?
This is one area I wish I knew more about. I always try to keep it like I'm still talking to the reader of my blog. It's that kind of private connection with each other. But I do use a blogger's title because she's or he have taken time to craft that title to show up well in search. And then I'll look at their first paragraph and kind of see what verbiage did they use that they thought would be that good call to action and bring them in. Because you know, I'm pinning 80, 90% other people's content. So I don't necessarily always want to be the one to craft all that text for them. I'd rather them. And, you know, a good content builder on their own site has built into their alt text a good pin description. Like if you're following good quality accounts, that's what's going to pop up anyway, right?
Right.
But I do try to keep it about two sentences where it's the title and then the next one is more that conversation style.
Very cool.
I think, have you had the chance to use Ahology at all, Jeff?
I've played with it a little bit, but I haven't gotten in there too much.
They added a new feature. It's almost like a cloud that floats on the right-hand side that as you're typing your description, it pops up suggestions. Like, you forgot the word recipes. You forgot the word craft. I think it's like if you're just beginning to blog and it's open to new users. So if you're trying to teach yourself how to craft a good text and pin descriptions, I think that's a good recommendation because they've already kind of classified which are those key 250 keywords that people are searching for on Pinterest. So it kind of helps you a little bit more.
That's a very good piece of advice. Yeah. So I'll make sure to test. I haven't been in there in a while, so I have to go out and test it.
I'm guilty. I forget a little bit to use it as much, especially when you start getting things scheduled on Tailwind and that looping feature and the interval feature on or interval and Tailwind and looping on Board Booster and I'm all over.
Well, here's a question. Well, it's not a question. I guess it's a thing. I've been experimenting because I run the Social Media Examiner's account, and I'm not putting the title in the description anymore. I'm putting because they do such a good job of writing the first opening kind of paragraph. So mm-hmm. I'm kind of copying that. And, right. so, you know, because they ask like two questions and then they have kind of a what this is about. And I've been mm-hmm. using that and it seems to be working. I was
fun. And if you have print rich pens, your title already shows up. Right.
That was why I was thinking is, do I need to do it again or not? And so
I was trying to make sure the words in there, not necessarily the same word order.
Right.
You know, but like in theory, it's already showing up in print rich environment anyway. So I agree with that. I think that's a great strategy.
And in your conversation, what you said about continuing the conversation, that's what they do well already. And so that's what I was just kind of repurposing. And so I think continuing that conversation is very, very important in your description. So, and those do matter a big deal for search, correct? The descriptions for your pins?
That's how they're going to find you. However, that being said, I think visual search is huge right now too on Pinterest. Yeah. If you're not checking when you pin a pin and it doesn't rank right, something you didn't get quite right, whether it's the image, they're reading it as something else, or the description, you kind of miss some keywords in there. And Kelly Lieberman and I, she co-hosts Pin Chat with me, her and I have noticed that desktop and mobile show you different things. Your mobile seems to be a little bit more intuitive, which is really interesting. And we always kind of give it a little bit of time just to make sure it did rank it right. But I think it's definitely like, here's an example. Amanda, my co-blogger, wrote an article about teaching kids to swim. She threw up this cute graphic. It was a pool with towels in the front and text overlay, which right. we've kind of seen sometimes text overlays perform better. When I pinned it, the only thing that showed up were towels to buy. That's all. Just pages and pages of towels. I'm like, okay. And I looked at it. I'm like, well, you know, about 70% of that image was a towel. Like it totally made sense. Wow. But for me, I'm like, okay, well then that means I have to get something else in that image that shouts, you know, swimming and kids and parenting and more text description I added to it. And I was able to kind of bump it a little bit differently into more pool life. I'm like, at least give me water. Like, I don't care if it's I mean, but on the same hand, it's good because if I were to sell, you know, towels, now I know that, you know, that would be a good way to write an article that would still pull you back into my product. So that's, you know, something to consider too. It's not something I have to deal with. We don't do a lot of products on our site as of yet, but, you know, as a brand, that's something to think about.
The thing that I also figured out was that, like for social media marketing, because I do a lot of that stuff, like social media examiners pins, they usually have text. And when the first visual tool came out, I just kind of tried it out and they had stack text and it was pulling up those, Be Calm and Carry On graphics because they were similar. It wasn't the same text, but they were the similar way it looked. And the other thing I found out, like if we had a article about Instagram marketing, to make sure to put the actual Instagram logo on there because that would pull up other related articles on Instagram. So going back and checking like you had with the towels and stuff, it's very interesting and the things you can, you know, maybe come up with search for can be beneficial. And also, like you said, the towels thing, you may want to double check and figure out why is this not working right? So,
right. Very, I just think it's one of those big areas that we were using it for so long one way that you really have to think about it now. I know a lot of food bloggers use props and their recipes, you know, just because it's inviting and it's fun, but you kind of have to make sure you haven't taken away from the actual food. In fact, we're at one of the conferences I was at, and I'm just not ringing a bell now. It was a representative from Bing who was there talking about their search engine on there. And his comment was, you know, we have certain code behind the scenes and say you put a brownie on a blue placemat. My search engines will never say that's a brownie because brownies are never blue.
Right.
Like it's just not there. So it better be a lot of brownie and just a little bit of that blue in there. And I like kind of just struck to home. I'm like, that totally makes sense. It just isn't part of that. And that's why collages don't always necessarily, show up well in search because it's too many things to vary in. So I think if you're pinning, that's something to think about. You might want to do that collage. I know roundups can be really popular, but but maybe also try a one single image shot from that. That's your own, you know, image, and that might show it better in search. Just something to consider too.
Those are great tips. So Shai asked this, he goes, so would you suggest a backdrop image with overlay text or a solid color background with text for blog posts and pins? What would you say?
Let me read it. Suggest a backdrop with text over solid background. I'm like, I know the stats kind of say that text overlay seems to perform better. Do you agree, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. Whatever you do is make sure not to have too busy of a background. You know, I like the idea of a solid color black background with some text on it. And those seem to do very, very well as, you know, when I see them there. Mm-hmm. Here's another question, and I know I get this all the time, and you will get it too. I know you get it all the time. So how often should I pin? You know, I've created all this stuff. How often should I pin?
If we knew that answer, we'd be rich.
That's right.
I think it varies per your account. I definitely think some followers just aren't ready to see a bazillion pins from you. And then I think there's some accounts that they're ready to see many pins from you. For our account, I try to have at least 20 going up a day. Some are scheduled, and then hand ones usually get me up in about 30 a day. I do still like to jump in and see what's trending. I take advantage of Pinterest search bar and kind of be a part of that buzz, because I think that's important. I don't think it's a great platform to set it and forget it. And right. I unfortunately am seeing a lot of accounts doing that right now. And then their complaint is they're not seeing as much engagement, and they're not, and I'm like, well, are you engaging? You have to,
Oh, I lost you again. But here's what I do, Kim, as well as I'm sure you'll pop back in a minute, is I make sure that I'm at least on it in the morning, in the evening, but I also schedule pins throughout the day. And Joe Morris asked earlier, he says, are there tools to monitor and see analytics? Pinterest does have a very, very robust analytics platform built into it for a business account, like we talked about earlier.
The game that we play.
But there is some other packages. Like I use Tailwind, and I know Kim uses Tailwind too, and it does a great job of giving you extra stuff and lets you. For me, the biggest thing with Tailwind is it allows me to schedule pins, like Kim was talking about earlier, because when I'm away from my computer, I'm still dripping out content. And we do the same thing with Social Media Examiner, is that I'm in there and I like, and I don't have any stats on this, but I like to pin if I can organically from a website, because I think this is just me, but I think Pinterest, since there's like 80%, like Kim was saying before, are repins that are going through Pinterest. When you add content to the platform, I think they like that. I don't know. I can't say for sure, but I just think it is. And so I like to pin organically from Social Media Examiner's website and my own website, and then go back and schedule those later. That's just kind of my workflow for that. Mm-hmm. So
like I'm back. You can still hear me, right?
I think
I'm back. No, I do like to originally pin too. And honestly, it's because I like to go in and read when I'm pinning. I don't want to just blindly assume it's not that. And I do know it favors if there's a post that's quite popular right now. Just like if we were in Facebook, it's a trending post. If you're pinning that and adding that, that can kind of tell Pinterest when it has a bazillion original pins from a post that this is a popular content, and give it a little bit more clout to what's going on. Right. So, you know, use that to your advantage.
I think Ahology said, and I'll go back to our original question, how many pins should I, or how often should I pin? They were saying 15 to 20, but then I've heard now with the smart feed that you're supposed to pin less because the algorithm or whatever gives more, you know. I still think that they like to see you on the platform pinning.
They want to see you there pinning. And I'm seeing behind the scenes a lot of pinners pinning a whole lot of pins. It's not what I would recommend, but I know that they're seeing results in the followers that they're getting. So, you know, it's kind of you have to weigh that in. Is your goal followers or is your goal click-throughs and repins? You know, for me, I want the click-through and the repin.
Right.
And followers are lovely, but I don't know. I can't help but think, like, I wouldn't ever want to be spammed with a whole lot of content. I would kind of just get overwhelmed and say, I'm good. I'll come to your site if I need to find stuff from you. But that's, you know, that's my human nature. I think it's others too, but you never know.
And I think that's why it's good to schedule, because you can drip that stuff out and you don't look like you're, you know,
right.
I don't know.
Right. And in mind of different time zones. I know the smart feed does take a little bit of time for your content to get out there, but you know, I am there enough to know that I can see my friend just pin something from their article that just went live a little bit ago.
I have another question. We just lost you again, Kim. Is Shai says, any news about promotional pins and buyable? When are they going to go global? We Europeans want some calls to actions too. I think that they're going to eventually roll it out. I think they're getting all the kinks out. I have not heard any news about when. I know that they're working on rolling that stuff out. I can't tell you. I know so many people want it so badly. I know Martin Bierman wants them too. But Melissa says, great point on followers versus clicks through, Kim. That's my thing. I always want I want click throughs, and I know the social media account. That's what we're trying to get to is click throughs. So being engaging and pinning good content, and that's the other thing. And I talk about this almost every time is if you're pinning something, make sure to click on that pin to make sure it's going to the right website. And I still do not pin things over a year old. Usually I always check it. And I know I'm probably in the minority of that, but unless it's really, really good evergreen content, which means it's going to be around for a long time or has the data is still applicable to today, is that I won't pin it because I want to have my audience is the most important thing to me. And so I need to be make sure and I'm giving them great information. And if they click on me and I take them to somewhere that it's a broken link or it's too bad stats or something that's not even relevant anymore, then it makes me look like I don't know what I'm talking about. And so I make sure that I check everything and that I pin only thing that's relevant. And some days it's hard to find good stuff. It really is. Yeah. Statistics into graphics for 2014 are still showing up around. That's true. I mean, there's still those best time to post or, you know, how to grow your Twitter following. You know, I don't really care about flip phone graphics. I mean, flip phone, statistics from 2001 or whatever, even though they may have a great, great infographic. If it's not relevant, then it's not good for my audience. So always think instead of just clicking and pinning something pretty, think and see if that's really something that you want to, you know, share with your audience. So let's see if we have any more questions as we wait for Kim. Oh, Craig asks, are most popular pins attached to an article? Or do you think people pin based on just a photo? I think the power pinners make sure that it goes somewhere. A lot of the different types of, if you see like something like about Star Wars or some one of those geeky kind of things, a lot of times they'll just go to an image or like a quote graphic sometimes just goes to the image. But most of the good ones for social media, or for some products, they always usually need to go someplace. So that's why I always, yeah. Otherwise, it's just a shoebox of photos. That's exactly right, Greg. So I always make sure that I'm always clicking through. It takes a little bit longer. I know we want to get in there and just pin stuff and get out. But checking to make sure those links go somewhere is very, very important. Oh, Lifcom says she's been spring cleaning my Pinterest account during this. Okay, yeah, multitask. That's great. So it's very important. I need to go back and spring clean. Be wary of some of the apps that say that they will go back and and help you clean out your Pinterest account. I've seen some of those come around. The problem with those is if they don't have the official Pinterest API or they're not a partner with Pinterest, I get really nervous because I won't do anything that will get my account banned. My Pinterest account and followers and audience is too important to me to mess with something that's going to be easy. So, hey, there's Kim. She's back again.
I'm just jumping on my stupid phone. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. That's all right. We're just, we had some questions and I was answering them. Perfect. Yes. Martin says, don't use tools who aren't, MDP. Your account will get it banned and worse. So, Mike, you just asked if, do I use any automation? I do use automation, but I also do it organically. So I use ones that are official partners with Pinterest, like Tailwind is one. And also you mentioned Buffer is one. So I just use the ones that have gotten the okay from Pinterest to make sure, that I'm not messing with anything. So anyway, All right, Kim, we're about at, we're getting close to the end, but I want to make sure that we kind of wrap up some of these. There's some more questions we have. Alisa asked the question, what's your take on combining business with personal on Pinterest? I know I have an opinion, but I want to know what yours is. And she's gone again. Okay. I'll go ahead and wrap this up. My thing is I don't mind. My brand is so broad, mainly Pinterest tips, that I can pin a lot of stuff that interests me. If I run an account for a chocolate factory, and we usually pin mostly chocolate recipes about desserts, stuff like that. So I would try to keep it focused to a point, but people also go on Pinterest to see your personality. And that's something Peg Fitzpatrick, I was only pinning business stuff when I first got started. And she said, hey, show your personality because people want to know you and not be just a mindless, faceless corporation or business. So yeah, Livcom says she likes a mix. That's kind of my feeling as well. I think it depends on your end goals. If you're trying to sell stuff and you're just like a flower shop and whatever, you want to make sure you keep pinning the same thing. You may want to be a little bit more focused. So we'll try Kim one more time. Come on, fingers crossed. Oh, there she is. She's
well, at back least again. Try for now if I can get my headphone back in.
All right.
You can do it, right?
Yeah, I can. Shai says, I need to grow a beard and that'll get my brand started. Thanks, Shai.
I'm sorry.
Business versus personal, and then I want you to tell we can find out more about you and your services.
I think that with accounts that succeed well, staying on topic and on focus is probably ideal. But that doesn't mean you can't show a little bit of you that you can't show on your website. Like it's free data space. You're not paying for content that's there. So behind the scenes of your team, maybe a little bit more about your location if you're producing things, and you know,
very cool. We lost you again, Kim. I'll tell you a good account to follow to see how they do that well is Constant Contact. They do a very, very good job of showing, I mean, they're pinning stuff about business and email marketing, but they also show, they have a thing where their team holds up like funny moments of things they screwed up before. And so they're a really great account to follow. I think we've lost Kim, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But I know where the best place to probably find her would be on Pinterest at Education Spin on It, and also on her website. Thank you guys all for being here today. And sorry for the technological difficulties we had. But thank you so much for coming to the show. At Manly Pinterest Tips, where we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone one pin at a time.